In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The transformation from being English to being American is a slow and perhaps never-ending process. My first step on this journey actually happened about a decade before we moved to the U.S. I worked in England, traveled around Europe for a company that was based here in Los Angeles, and several times a year I would fly out here for a week of meetings with the headquarters people. Sometime around 1990 or so, I started to notice something going on in these meetings. Now, this was in the days before iPads and smartphones and even before laptop computers, but everyone was showing up to these meetings with these rather smart, often leather-bound, monogrammed ring binders. People would come into the meeting, plonk down these huge things, which I soon discovered were called a Franklin Day Planner, flip it open, slide out the pen, and prepare to take notes. Being English, I was rather impressed by this. We had something similar in England called a Filofax, but it was about this big and made out of cardboard. These things were much bigger, much fatter, plump, and covered in leather. And not only that, but there was this almost religious devotion to the process of making goals and putting to-do lists today and taking notes and making your life better through organization. So I thought, well, I'll have to get myself one of these. So I tracked one down to a store in Century City, purchased it, and took it home back to England. And once I was there, with the help of the 8 cassette tape course on how to use it, I got on top of things and became a master of my own destiny. Now, I am quite forgetful, so the other thing that's useful in a Franklin Day Planner is the dates. Now, some of them didn't involve me, like 4th of July, but sometime in May of that year, whichever year it was, I saw that next Sunday was Mother's Day. And I'm great. I'm on top of this. I am not going to forget Mother's Day. So on the Sunday, I call my mother. Happy Mother's Day! There's a pause, after which she says, well, that's very nice, dear, but it's not Mother's Day. Mother's Day was about 6 weeks ago, and you missed it. Because today, the fourth Sunday in Lent, is Mother's Day in the UK. And yes, I have at least sent her an email, and I will call her later. The fourth Sunday in Lent's become Mothering Day, and it's an interesting history of how we got there. There are two great periods of fasting historically in the church. Obviously, Lent is the one that we all know, but Advent is also one such period. And over time, each of these seasons got a Sunday which was kind of, you had to kick back a little, take it a little less seriously. It's the third Sunday in Advent and the fourth Sunday in Lent. They're called Rose Days, rose as in the flower. And you may recall that when we have our Advent wreaths, the third week candle is a rose-colored candle. But today, the fourth Sunday in Lent, is a rose day. It's Mother's Day because it became a tradition for, on this kicking back day, for apprentices to be given the day off so that they could go and visit their mothers. And hence, the fourth Sunday in Lent became Mothering Sunday. In other circles, today is actually called Refreshment Sunday, The whole idea is to take a refreshing view of Lent and, as I say, relax and kick back a little bit about it. It's almost like, and I'll bring out my American side now, the seventh inning stretch of Lent, right? We have a little break before we move towards Holy Week and Easter. So this whole idea is to take a step back, lower the intensity. But actually, it's not goofing off. It's more about taking that whole idea of refreshment and relaxation into our own spiritual lives. Lent is a time when we're supposed to focus intensely on our relationship with God. What is our life like as a disciple of Jesus? And sometimes that can get difficult. In our attempts to dig deeper, we find ourselves questioning more. We flip open our metaphorical Franklin Day planners and start taking notes and giving ourselves to-dos. Must be a better Christian. Must read the Bible more. Must be more self-denying. And we can go round and round trying to figure this whole thing out. But maybe what we should do, taking our lead from Refreshment Sunday, is take a step back from all that. Now, one group that clearly didn't get the memo about Refreshment Sunday were the people that appointed the readings of the Gospel for today. It isn't actually, it's the whole of John 9, all 41 verses of it. I don't know if it is the longest reading that we have, Gospel reading that we have in the lectionary, but I do know one thing. It is the longest gap in anywhere in the Gospels where Jesus is not present. If you notice, Jesus was there at the beginning where he healed the blind man. That took the first 7.5 verses. And Jesus doesn't come back until verse 35. There are 27.5 verses in John 9 where Jesus is out of the room and it's left to the humans. And how do we do? Not very well. A miracle has just occurred. God's healing power has been revealed. A blind man cannot see. Surely this should be cause some pause for thought, something to get excited about, or at least something to consider and weigh the facts about. But no, the Pharisees are having none of it. They flip open their day planners, they start taking notes and to-dos about how they're going to deny what has happened. Their first objection goes like this. This healer did this on the Sabbath. Therefore, because he's working on the Sabbath, he is a sinner. So as a sinner, he can't do it. It's almost illogical in the face of the facts. And it didn't seem to convince everyone. John notes, and they were divided. Next, they try the simple denial of truth, the fake news. They claim that the man was never blind in the first place. But this doesn't stand up to some simple fact-checking. They ask his parents, and they attest that, yes, he was born blind. This is their son. And yes, he can now see. But being human, being afraid, they duck the question of how this happened. So the Pharisees are still not convinced. So they bring the formerly blind man back before him and try to get him to attest that this Jesus is a sinner. But the man is having none of it. And after a while, this whole discussion, this whole human discussion, unspools and goes south. The Pharisees drive the man away, and presumably they just hope to carry on as if the whole episode hadn't occurred. Now, it's easy to take sides in this discussion, in this reading. And from the outset, we know whose side we're on, and we know that the Pharisees have got it all wrong here. Indeed, this passage from John historically was used as the basis for anti-Jewish preaching. We side with the blind man. We identify with him. In many ways, this can be interpreted as a little bit of feel-good gospel. We know who's right here. But I think that's missing the point. The question isn't which side in this argument we pick, but it's about how we think and believe ourselves. No, we don't go around denying the reality of Jesus as the Son of God, but we do sometimes tie ourselves in knots trying to explain things. As Anglicans, especially, we're called to balance scripture, tradition, and reason. And we can end up debating with ourselves and sometimes with others, going round and round and backwards and forwards and up and down, trying to make sense of things. If only, we say to ourselves, if only I could really nail this theology thing. If I could really, really understand God in some rational way, if I could have a really good answer to my friend who asks, why do you believe in God? If I had that, I would be all set. I could be a better believer. I would have a firm foundation for my faith. But faith doesn't need a foundation. Faith only requires faith. And that's the beauty in today's gospel. We don't need to have complicated explanations for everything. We don't need to explain ourselves. We simply need to have faith. Like the formerly blind man in the center of this story, who says, I don't know. He says it twice. I don't know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. So perhaps sometimes we could just be a little more like that. Perhaps sometimes we should just be at peace with ourselves and with the world and simply say, I don't know, but there is something in my life about God, about Jesus, about my faith. Maybe one thing that I know. I don't know, but I know this. So as it's Refreshment Sunday, we should go from here not with the burdens of thinking through the detailed theology and the backwards and forwards of this argument in this gospel and the arguments that we can have ourselves, but pick that one thing today and pray and meditate on it. And let's make this fourth Sunday in Lent, if not Mothering Sunday here, Refreshment Sunday, one that refreshes our faith in God. Amen.